Yes, today, our city council member and the chair of the Montana Libertarian Party. What a party. We have Sid down with us. Good morning, Sid.
Good morning, Sid.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on again. And even though you presumed that I'm still the chair, I am.
Oh, okay.
We had our officer convention to elect officers last month, and I was reelected for another 2 years of this.
Okay. All right,
well, so away we go.
Yeah, you speak well for the Libertarian Party. I want to just put on your hat for the Kalispell City Council. Tonight, you guys are meeting for a work session, and one of the things you're going to consider is a public safety levy.
Yes, and I'm positive that that is going to move forward. There's been, you know, a bunch of studies done both on the fire and the police side, and, you know, they show that we need more firemen, more officers, more fire stations, really, and to set us up for the future. But the one thing it doesn't show us is where that money is going to come from, and we don't have the budget for it. So considering this levy is really important. In my mind, I'm really happy that we're bringing this to the people and saying, do you want to voluntarily raise, you know, the money for this, which is going to be tax money, because we're not going to be able to do it out of the general fund, and nor would we do it without some kind of thumbs up from the people.
One of the things I think we have to keep in mind throughout all of this is while we may pay more taxes now for fire and police, our homeowners insurance will likely go down if we do that. Perhaps if we don't do it, it may well go up. So it might one might equal the other.
Yeah, and you know, some insurance companies do look at your rating in the local area to figure that out. In fact, most of them do, I think, up in our area. And at the very least, it won't go up if we do these increases in staff. But they very well could go up if we don't. Yeah. And you know, that's all kind of guesswork at this point. But I know that most of the insurance companies, especially the ones that are popular in our area, do look at that.
Well, the thing that has always been the case is we have had just terrific response times from both our police and fire, and that's kept our homeowners' rates down. And now with the expansion and the distances we have to go to respond, those response times are beginning to go down a little bit. And if they continue to go down, and they will if we don't do something about it, because we can't stop the population growth, so we're going to have to make it work.
Yeah, so personally, I agree with you. I can't actually sponsor a yes or a no on this. I can give the facts and let the people decide.
Sure.
I, you know, it's kind of an ethical violation for me to promote either let's do this or let's not do this. I basically have to present the facts and let the people decide.
Well, the one thing that we are going to do, though, is you guys are going to sit down and really hash this out tonight and see how you feel about it. Levies have not been particularly well received here for the last couple of years. Just about every one has gone down to failure. So what are you going to do that's different on this one to, well, so that you don't wind up going down to failure?
Well, so we're basically going to do a big education campaign around this so people understand the impact of voting for the levy versus voting, not voting for the levy. And I think, you know, you're going to see more education around this because it's kind of a bigger deal than you've seen around some previous levies that we've put out there. The last one that was a city of Kalispell specific of interest anyway was the 911 levy for the emergency center, which did pass. After that, there's been a slew of school levies that have failed, but You know, I think just getting the education out there will let the voters make an informed decision.
Well, that was another thing. That was two work sessions ago when you guys sat down and tried to figure that out. Now, that's a complicated situation, too, because the city really is not in a position to advocate for something before the voters, even if it's the city's own proposition.
Exactly. And, you know, whether we want it or not, as far as the council goes or the staff of the city, we are actually bound by Montana code to not promote it or be against any issue that goes before the voters. We have to kind of stay neutral. We'll be happy to give the facts for it. And I think that's good. It's a good American way to go to the polls. Educate yourself before you vote, and we're definitely going to help with that piece.
Any idea when we might be seeing this come up on our ballots?
Well, that's one of the discussion points tonight, but I believe this is going to end up being a special election that happens possibly in the spring of next year. We're trying to make sure it doesn't get drowned out by the presidential election. People aren't going to pay much attention to it until they see it on their ballot. If we mix it in with all the controversy that's going to happen in 2024, so I think we're going to bring this out in a special election.
And the other thing that plays a part of it is the concern and the confusion over our taxes, our state taxes from property taxes. Right now, we don't really know how much we're going to wind up paying.
That's true, and you know, the statement that was put out by the state that is alarming everybody right now is accurate, but is not reality. For instance, the city of Kalispell can only raise your property tax by half the rate of inflation. So we can't jump up, even if it says we're supposed to jump up to whatever numbers on that paper you received from the state. We can't do that. We can only raise it by that increment, which is pretty small.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Libertarian Party, because you're now, this is your second or third term as a chair.
This is my third term. I'm starting my third term as chair.
I thought so.
And, yep, so apparently I'm doing okay. either that or they can't find anybody else. So we had a great convention, and there some controversy came out of the convention. It's a little bit interesting, but at this convention we elect our officers, and the other thing we do is we can adjust our bylaws if we have a three-quarter vote to support a change in bylaws. So we did make some bylaw changes, and one of the changes that we made has actually been quite controversial, but it's pretty simplistic in the libertarian mind. We made a change that allows us to endorse a candidate in any race, even if there is a libertarian registered to run in that race. And that's going to sound weird to anybody that supports one of the big two parties, because they couldn't comprehend doing that. But we had a specific example in 2022 that kind of prompted this, and this is almost a little bit of a defense mechanism for us, because we had somebody that ran as a libertarian in a very high-profile race that was basically just using our ballot access to get on the ballot. And they actually did beat our actual libertarian candidate in a primary, and this was for the Eastern Congressional U.S. Congressional race, so it wasn't like a small race. It was a pretty high-profile one. And suddenly we have a libertarian, quote-unquote, out there that was supporting gun laws, increase in taxes at the federal level, and, you know, just things that we would never do. So we came out pretty strong against that, and it's been pretty well-received, but there are a few that are a little bit rankled about this, to include our national party is not super happy with us right now. But anyway, the interesting thing about being a libertarian is we can basically ignore our own party if we want. it sounds pretty funny, but You know, so the wording is basically that we're unable to endorse a candidate in an election, regardless of party, if we believe it will advance libertarian principles. And I think that says a lot about us in particular. You know, the two big parties are out there vying for power. They're concentrated on building their power, completely. That's their whole goal. Whether it's to promote their values or not, it's grabbing a bigger piece of the pie out there. And for libertarians, we just want to change America and start moving back towards liberty. And we don't really care if we're the ones that do it. So if we find somebody else that's doing it, like not just says it but is actually doing it, we'll support them.
Okay. So that actually changes the dynamics of a primary for you guys.
It does a little bit. We're pretty young in the primary game. The state has only allowed us to primary since 2018, and it wasn't because of us that was changed. It was a Green Party ruling that came down from the courts that finally allowed us to primary. Before that, if we had two libertarians going for the same office, both would carry on all the way through to the end of the general election, which is very confusing to people and also detrimental to us. So at least at this point, we can primary people, or we can hold primaries and hopefully get the right libertarian out front. But, we would all kind of prefer closed primaries where we could pick our own candidates. We would know that they're promoting our values and send them on to the general election. That's not the case in Montana. I think there's a lot of people from all parties that would like that. But I'm just kind of guessing there.
Of course, how do you control that sort of thing? I mean, if somebody can say, hey, I'm a libertarian, just so that they can go in there and mess with your candidates.
Yeah, and that physically happened to us. In fact, and I don't really feel bad about throwing his name out there because it was in the paper here recently, but Sam Rankin, a longtime Democrat, ran as a libertarian on the 2022 Eastern Congressional District ballot. And he came out in the interview a couple of weeks ago admitting that he used this as a vehicle to get onto the ballot. And, he also admitted he didn't know anything about the Libertarian Party. He just thought we didn't like stop signs. So that's kind of a vivid example of how kind of our party's principles can get diluted if we don't defend who's running.
That makes a lot of sense, and you got to be careful you don't get used and things like that. I want to ask you about this weekend and the war that's going on, and that's the only thing we can call it in the Middle East. We have Hamas and going up against Israel, and Israel defending itself. Hamas says they're defending their property. Where do the libertarians fall on this situation?
Well, we're not very popular right now because we are the only anti-war party out there. We don't suggest war or anything that aids war. Although I do understand that, we sent Israel money on day one, even though they didn't ask for any money. But I think that had more to do with a treaty that was put in place long ago. I don't think that was it sounds like we're just generously, out of our heart giving, but I think that was actually mandated by a treaty. If you remember the start of the Ukraine war, there was all kinds of stuff flying out there about what was going on, but a lot of it was hype and propaganda. Now, I don't think that the images we're seeing are hype and propaganda, but I think that they're telling a single side of the story. And my biggest thing that I would say is that we're extremely sad about the loss of life that's actually going to be on both sides here of the civilians when it's really a group that doesn't really exemplify the Palestinians. The Hamas is a radical, crazy group. And a lot of Palestinians are just under their thumb as well. And then, you know, you have them attacking civilian targets and things like that, which was horrific, and we all saw those images. But I think the libertarian stance here is we need to step in, just like we would suggest for the Ukraine and any other conflict that's going on. We need to send our diplomatic assets over there in force and be very serious about this. Before we try to knee-jerk react and do something that's going to cost us American lives.
Now we've got the Ukraine conflict going on now, and now this, this could put us into World War III.
I agree with that, and if you're a Christian and believe in the Bible, this actually has a lot of other connotations, right? Because this is exactly where they say that Armageddon starts, I am. So I'm very, very cautious about involvement here. And we would love to try to fan the flames of peace instead of war. But this has bigger connotations than I don't know if everybody realizes how big this is. Russia's already came in and is, very concerned about what's going on there. And bringing those two superpowers into conflict is terrible. Huh. I don't know if you heard this today, but the United States has reached out to China to try to talk to Iran so that they will start quelling their side, because Netanyahu doesn't respond to us. He doesn't talk to us. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. That's a figure in this entire puzzle that I really don't support. He's shown to be very authoritarian and very, willing to do some very crazy stuff that we wouldn't even consider here in the United States.
Now, the thing about Netanyahu is that he is a staunch conservative. He is a guy that is going to protect Israel no matter what. And even if it's, leveling the entire Gaza Strip, with the possible exception of Jerusalem, it sounds as though he's willing to do that.
He is, and he's already started that. You know, the people, unfortunately, stuck in the middle here are the settlers in the Gaza Strip. Most especially the Palestinians that have already had their water and power cut off. They're suffering because of this fringe group and Israel. Now, I hope that the media is going to cover this as well as the initial attacks, but you're going to see tremendous loss of life now on the other side in retaliation. And one of the things that I'm hoping that we're able to do is temper our ally to not go too far the other way. I mean, we don't want to see a genocide happen, for sure. Even though that's what Hamas wants, they're not big enough to pull it off, but Israel might be.
And we've been trying really hard to cover both sides of it. The majority of the media coverage, major media coverage on television over the weekend, was from the Israelis' point of view. And I think that was more simply because that was the only point of view we could get, because Hamas really isn't set up to talk to the media the way Israel is. And the coverage that we have and the ability to get reporters on the ground safely and keep them there is pretty much rests with Israel right now.
Well, I will agree with that to a point, but, Al Jazeera does a pretty good job on the other side. Obviously, their bias is going to go the other way, but they have reporters on the ground there, too. So we'll just kind of have to see what kind of media coverage we get. But even without that coverage, we should know that the retaliation is going to be extreme, and we want to make sure that we temper our allies not to take it too far, you know, the problem there is Israel is completely surrounded with no border ally. So what we don't want to do is draw every other country into this conflict that surrounds them, because they'd be at a huge disadvantage, right?
Yeah. It's been fascinating watching the rocket attacks going in, coming
in. What about the Iron Dome?
Yeah,
what
Yeah, the Iron Dome is working. You watch this thing. Now, they're not 100%, but boy, you watch these things, and you see the rocket shooting up, and then you see another flash, and that's the Iron Dome taking that rocket out. It's fascinating to watch that.
Yeah, and, you know... You know, from a civilian aspect, you could only hope that not only they, but we also have that same ability to knock those things out, because, you know, the way that we're pushing buttons in the Ukraine and now possibly in the Middle East again, you know, the threat of nuclear wars is stronger probably than it ever has been. And if anybody doesn't know, we're in worse shape today than we ever have been with the amount of nukes that are out there and the lack of control compared to the Cold War. In the Cold War, we had accurate counts. The people knew what they were. They could go research those. We had U.S. Nuclear Command was in the Pentagon instead of moving itself out. I forgot. I'm going to get this wrong, but I think they moved to Indiana so that they could be under less scrutiny. We're in dire shape. There's a couple great podcasts out there that kind of show you the state we're in today, which when I listened to those really scared me, because I grew up during the Cold War. We had the nuclear drills where we hid under our desks or in the doorway, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
I grew up in Great Falls, and the simple fact was, it didn't matter what you did in Great Falls, because you were going to be just a burning pile of rubble.
You guys have all the missiles to fire the attack back.
Exactly. So, you know, it's very concerning to me that people are so nonchalant. And maybe if we told them, if there's a nuclear war, the first thing to go is going to be the internet and your cat, maybe they would care.
Oh, boy. Always a great conversation, Sid. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I just have to, you know, pray for the world. Things are starting to look pretty dire, and not just in one area. I hope that people have the ability to step back and look at what's going on and say, okay, we need to really start pushing peace a lot more than we have been. It really upset me when we decided that we were not going to enter into negotiations for peace with Russia. When that happened in the Ukraine, we actually skipped that and just started sending more aid to the Ukraine. I mean, I'm not pro one side or the other. I'm pro peace.
All right. Sid, thanks so much, bud.